Hello, welcome to our podcast, where we unknot the politics.
Could you maybe introduce yourself a bit and talk a little bit about who you are and where you have traveled?
I'm Jeremy. I'm from Hong Kong. So I have traveled in Europe, in Asia for since my university. So I have been traveled like Vietnam, Germany, Germany and Copenhagen and some Northern European country. And recently I have visited to the Eastern European country, and which is quite inspiring, because those countries have a lot of cultural difference with my hometown Hong Kong. So this is my introduction, maybe.
But what were your initial impressions when you came to Europe, or how did it differ from your home place?
Maybe I'll talk a little bit my background. Like I study in I like before I get into the to my working field, I study in architecture and interior design area. So my first visit to the European country is to the Germany. It's a study trip for me. So before the study trip, I was hesitant to travel in different countries, because my mother language is in Cantonese, so which is not common. So after the travel to the Germany, I start to talk in English with people, because like I start to break the boundary for such a different language, but which is only the difference of the confidence, because I hesitate to talk in English in Hong Kong. So let's talk about the culture. In Hong Kong, I think the culture is quite different. In Hong Kong, like people to talk to another people will have a lot of taboo. Like in Hong Kong, we still have a lot of Asian taboo. For example, some LGBT issue, and also some like the taboo, like we have a lot of taboo to compare with Western country. In terms of the design and architecture, I think in Hong Kong it's kind of for me it's kind of sad, because we have a lot of skyscraper and landmark, but those landmark for the perspective of architecture student, those are mainly economic oriented. But in the European country, city like Copenhagen, they are more in a sense of human. It's more like human centered oriented design. So when I travel in the different country in Europe, I feel like I'm in more like the way you're seeing is quite different. I mean, when I visit the architecture, they are more user friendly. They are more considered about the human, the result, and then the quality, the living quality. But in Hong Kong, we have a lot of landmarks, but all mainly about the economic goals, or like shopping mall. We have tons of shopping mall, but those architectures mainly for people to buy and selling the similar product. But in Europe, I can see a lot of different markets, but instead of shopping mall with different product and more like culture integrated.
But would you say that the people in European countries are different, or do they act different or have different rules of courtesy, or?
I think it's quite funny, because in Hong Kong, We have a lot of people from different city or country or cultural background. So I mean, in Hong Kong, because we have colonial history from the UK, so in Hong Kong we gather a lot of people with different background. But in Hong Kong, because in the past decade, we are focused on the economic goals. So our mindset or the old general mindset, old from our old gen from our elder or old generation, they are more focused on the economic goals. So so our young generation and the old generation are quite different in terms of the perspective. But when we go to travel, we can see I mean, a lot of European the mindsets have been developing for a few decades ago. Like for example, the life of quality, I mean, the quality of life. I mean, the treasure, what they focus on, it is quite different, and those differences start from a very beginning already. I mean, in Hong Kong, it's still in the way, in the halfway of it. I don't know if this is answering your question.
No, it was definitely answer for my question. But how easy would you say is traveling in different countries with knowing only English, or do locals communicate easily in English, or did you have some troubles communicating?
I think I mean I think communicating in different countries, I think I because my I can only speak in Cantonese and English. So I think English is not a big problem in traveling most of the country, because I'm not a real English speaker, but when I go to the hostel, I can see a lot of people from different area from the world. Like they sometimes some of them they cannot complete the sentence even in English, but we can still communicate. For example, from the people from US or Africa or from Hong Kong, we can still communicate. But I mean, our common language is English, but maybe we cannot speak in very fluent way, but we can, because of that difference, we can communicate more, even more, because we can elaborate more in English. We can use a longer sentence structure. So in by that means, we can use more things to describe what we have gone through in the day of visit. So I think those different in the language kind of helping us to communicate or understand more cultural difference, because for example, when I travel in Germany, and people mainly speak in German, but I don't speak any German, so the German or the a traveler from other city will speak in English slower, in a slower speed. And also using a longer sentence structure, so we can by that time it will increase our communication in terms of the times and also the depth of that, because we can really communicate in a longer times and also in more details. Because we cannot use the exact wording sometimes. For example, we cannot use the exact term to describe the visit, the spot, the travel spot, but we can use longer sentence, but with a more detail to make the communication to communicate. Yeah.
Did you notice any differences in culture amongst various European Union countries, or would you say that the culture is overall similar?
I think it is it's really in terms of the cities. I think it in some sense is similar, but in some sense it's quite indifferent. But for example, in next area that I'm more familiar with, like architecture difference, for example, in Germany, I think the architecture more in like modern style, more like a very organized. So when you travel in the main street, you will see the human scale as a human, as a as we see or experience the architecture, we can see everything is very, very organized. You can see a lot of auditorium, the public space in everything is in the grid. It's well planned. But for another extreme way, when I travel in Copenhagen, I can see those architecture very I would say that it's really in it's crazy, but those crazy is with a reason, which is really a good attempt. Like they have a lot of how do you say that? They have a lot of crazy idea in architecture instead of very traditional way. But those crazy ideas not only for the visual purpose. They are more in the human sense. For example, I still remember there's a apartment that their balcony is in triangular shape. But those shape are bending in different way. And then when I first doing the research before my trip, I was just think, oh, this is interesting. By getting deeper and deeper of the understanding of the architecture, I can see that this is because of the sun path. I mean, in Northern European country, I mean the sun and sun at daytime and nighttime, the sun will have different distribution. When the people in the summer, they will really go for the balcony and enjoy the sun path. And I mean enjoy the sun bathing. So, the triangular shape is make sure that each balcony, the roof of the balcony will not shadowing the next level. By this, I mean there are different method of design the architecture. I mean, I can feel the different culture. For example, in Hong Kong, if you think architecture, most of the people will avoid the sunshine because in Hong Kong, I mean, in turn, we are quite lucky that in 4 seasons a year, our temperature and daytime and nighttime, we have similar pattern. So, Asian people are more trying to avoid the sun path. So when you going to into the public space in Hong Kong, you'll see a lot of people walking underneath the sun path, going into the shadowing area. But when you go to the Copenhagen in summertime or a European country in summertime, like most people will walk outside to the sunshine area. I think those is the most interesting human activity in when I traveling because those detail mean something. Maybe it's about the different pattern, maybe it's about the what they are treasuring.
How would you say, how does moving around in Europe compare to other regions you've been at? How was the mobility and transportation easy for you, or was it hard from country to country?
So country to country, I think in traveling EU is quite good. I mean, in terms of the mobility, because in EU we have a lot of way to travel. We can buy the train ticket, bus ticket, and the fight, we have different option. But in Hong Kong, we still have different option, but because in many places are like because they didn't form the like the EU system, you have to go to border to border. You usually have to use a lot of time spending on the gate. You have to check your passport and take the visa, etc., etc. And I think the bus system, I mean, to take the bus cost the take the, to take the cost country bus is quite the first attempt for me in the previous trip, because I took quite a lot of overnight bus to visit the Eastern Europe in the previous trip. Yeah, but in Hong Kong you cannot take the bus or train into everywhere, maybe to the China, but maybe to the mainland China, but sometimes I want to visit more space or other region, I usually need to take a flight or for example yeah, I will take a flight. For example, if I go to the Taiwan or Japan, I have to like take 3 or 4 hours flight, and then I have to maybe spend another hour in the airport. Yeah, for the border. So I think in the EU, it's really good to travel. I mean, because I also have experience to work in the Netherlands for exchange for the summer intern. So I still remember that when I work on Friday, I can like start to plan my trip on Saturday and the weekend from the Netherlands to the Belgium, like by the train, and then go back from Belgium to Netherlands on Mondays, also by the train. But it is kind of impossible in Hong Kong. I mean, the coldest region we can go to visit is mainly Taiwan or Japan. It also took like 3 or 4 days trip for us, so the mobility is not that fluent in crossing different region. Yeah.
Maybe one of my last questions would be, what was your favorite European Union country that you have been at?
Oh, that's definitely is Copenhagen. I mean, because in Copenhagen is kind of like my first field trip to travel in Europe, and the architecture is really amazing. I mean, when I visit in Copenhagen, I can see the very radical architecture, and the another side can also see the historical part of the architecture. But a lot of country will like make the separation between, I mean, I can see the difference between the old and new, but in Copenhagen I can see how they merge in integrate the new part of the architecture, the new perspective, and also in the same time link with the old soul of the city. So I think Copenhagen is my favorite city. Also, yeah, they have a very good bike system. They have a good policy in terms of living standard, in terms of the fairness between different groups of people. So I think, yeah, if I have a chance to live or like stay a longer time in a city, I definitely will choose Copenhagen. Yeah, this is the best place I have ever been so far. Yeah.
And I think that my final question would be, do you have
Yeah.
any recommendations for young people who are starting to travel more, or do you have any tips?
Yeah, I think most people travel, I mean, I still remember my first field trip, like when I back into university, my hesitation is about the language. The language boundary for me is a very huge boundary. But when you step outside your comfort zone, I mean, everything will be all right. Even if you visit to the Hong Kong or some region that even they don't speak in English or they speak in a very unique language. I mean, you can still use a slower speed to speak with the people, or you can like you can find a way to communicate because you can Google it, you can feel it. For example, if today I go to Japan, I cannot communicate with the people, with the local in Japanese, but I will speak in a very slow or single vocabulary in Japanese. So, this is I mean, the language boundary maybe is a concern, but also it is not a concern after you travel few country that at the beginning you are not so familiar with. You can at the fair oh sorry at the very beginning you may not familiar with, but at the end you will gain something from it. I mean, yeah, forget about the language is the key point, I think.
But thank you so much, Jeremy, for coming today and answering to my questions.
You're
And
welcome.
our podcast was really glad to have you.